Hey guys, it's Christopher Lewis and welcome to another episode of Dating Intelligence. Hey honey, I got Jamie Villamore here as my co-host today. How you doing, hon?
What are you doing over there?
Just smiling, you know, it's been a good day. So, and I know that we're on a limited time today, so we're not going to be able to catch up on our own personal shit today, which we can do that off air.
Yeah.
But we got our first, I got to say this people, today we have a very great exclusive guest today and it's man's best friend, honestly. And Aaron Schweitzer here is his handler.
Did we say that right?
We did.
Yeah,
Schweitzer,
right.
Is that correct? Yeah. All right. Well, we got Aaron Schweitzer and the Call of Duty Rex on the show today. And
yes.
If Rex could speak, does he speak?
He will sometimes.
All right.
Rex, where are you? Let's get Rex in the stream.
You guys got to see this. It's like
Rex.
This beautiful dog.
Woo!
On the show. And his name's Call of Duty Rex. And Aaron, please explain.
Aww.
Talk about you and your dog. We're going to call the show Man's Best Friend today because he is an amazing creature. Right.
All
now.
Right. So, yeah. So Rex, he's going to make his rounds now. I adopted him from a shelter in Tucson. It's been probably a little over 3 years now. And I had no intention of getting a Belgian Malinois. But when I saw one there that was being surrendered, I knew that like this dog was gonna go to the wrong home if I didn't take him. So
right.
I just adopted him, put in the work, and we've done some pretty cool adventures. We've had some pretty cool stuff that we've done. So between Call of Duty and all the other stuff, TV show and whatnot.
Nice. Now explain to everyone. So when you got him, did you already start training tactical dogs at this point in your life, or?
No, in high school, I worked on a greyhound farm, helping to train race dogs, which, you know, that's a whole nother show, but, you know, I've just always loved dogs. And then in the military and after, I worked with tactical dogs, you know, mostly Malinois, German Shepherds, Dutch Shepherds. I was never an actual, and I'm still not an actual canine handler per se, you know, professionally, but, you know, I've kind of picked up a few things here and there. So
I feel like you've earned your stripes with this one. I mean, he's an incredible dog.
How old was he when you adopted him?
So Rex was just about a year. He was a year old. So, and I met his previous handler that was surrendering him. He just said, you know, this dog's crazy. He's out of control. He's nuts and I can't keep him anymore. So now the guy probably sits at home and plays Call of Duty and doesn't even realize that's his dog ripping somebody's throat out.
Oh my God.
Yes. So it's explained to our audience out there. So when you're saying Call of Duty, you're talking about literally the video game, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did that work? Are they the green screening? I mean, do they put the little balls on them and that whole thing?
So I don't know. So he didn't actually do the mocap for that. I don't know if they just used one dog. Mm. I know they've used several dogs there's several different canine animals in.
Yeah, I saw one named Riley as well.
Yeah,
I didn't know
Riley.
If they knew each other. Or...
I have been in touch with their Riley, the original Riley's handler, and I think the original Riley's since passed. But I think that dog did do mocap. Rex has not. He just came out in Modern Warfare Season 3 with the rose skin.
Okay.
As her dog. So.
Oh, I didn't know that he was Rose's dog. April, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, in the original, season 3, so.
Do you play Call of Duty?
A little bit. I say that I don't, but I do play a little bit. I just don't, you know, I've been getting a lot of requests to stream, and that's kind of one thing that I haven't put out there yet, but 2023, I'm hoping to get set up to try and stream a little bit, but I really need to up my game because, you know, when you're a character and you go on, you know, go online and start playing and just, it doesn't do the character justice if you're just getting slaughtered by a bunch of 9-year-olds, you know.
Yeah. So you need some private lessons.
I do. I've recruited a 12-year-old to help me out. So,
what? Yeah. Really? Tell me about that.
That's humbling.
Yeah. So I've got a 12-year-old that's going to help me get spun up on that, you know, he's a little ninja and does all the... I know it's a whole nother realm learning all the lingo and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's talking like 360 no scopes and all this, you know.
And these
stuff
are kids
like that.
Too, right? Jeez, that's
incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So tell us a little bit about what you do in the tactical world.
So, I've started out in the Marine Corps way back 2000, and I've always been in kind of I fell into the special operations field. I was a reconnaissance Marine. And then, you know, I've just always kind of stayed in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been a master breacher, a sniper, and, just kind of worked in that space for a long time. So,
and out of all the things, your favorite space to like operate?
Man, like, what do you mean?
I mean, did you get the most joy out of, like, was it like when you were a sniper?
Yeah, I was
when
ask you breached you that as well.
Doors? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I mean, it kind of sounds bad. Like, did you like sniping people?
That's true, too.
But, I mean, what?
Oh, hell, it sounds awesome, Aaron. Just fuck that. Did you like sniping? Or
no.
what?
You know, it's different. You know, the different skill sets all have their unique things that I think that I enjoy. And with that, you know, anytime you're dealing with military, you know, like, you think of everything looks really bad. You think, oh, that's badass. They're jumping out of a helicopter, or they're scuba diving, or they're, you know, we used rebreathers. So, you know, the LAR 5 with, you know, it doesn't emit bubbles and stuff. That's badass. Well, anything in the military, they can take it, make, you know, something badass and make it really suck. Like, on the surface, it looks badass, but you don't see the, you know, the 8 hours where you're sitting there all kitted up waiting on the aircraft that's got, you know, a few more tweaks that need to get fixed or something like that. So, but going back to your question, I would say, like, the diving for me was really, really cool, because being under there, like, subsurface and, you know, not emitting the bubbles and stuff like that, and just interacting with, you know, like, seeing all the wildlife, they look that's at you great. Like you belong there. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you latched onto that since? Like, do you still dive then as well to this day?
I haven't dove in, gosh, it's been a couple of years. Okay. But yeah.
Okay. Still the same enjoyment for you though, when you did do it?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, it's.
What the hell are you doing under there?
What's up?
Like, when
he's
you're
sniping
diving,
fishes, Jamie. Shit.
Like, what, I mean, what is going through your, I have a huge fear of water. So what is, I don't know, maybe you like water. Like, what is going through your mind when you're down there?
So, you know, so I used to have a huge fear of water too. I nearly drowned when I was 2 years old. Oh. And so I didn't get in water again until I was probably without a life jacket until I was like 13. I either had a life jacket on or like the, you know, Incredible Hulk water wings.
Yeah.
Then when I got to be like 13 and all the girls were wearing bikinis, I was like, okay, we got to ditch these things and do something about this. So,
yeah.
But no, I mean, going, you know, like, being under, most of our dives are at night, and you know, like,
it makes it worse.
Well, what's wild is, I'll give you a quick story. When we were down in combat dive school down in Panama City Beach, Florida, you know, down there we're diving in the bayou, so it's really, really dark. They have a phytoplankton, so it's like pitch black, so you can't see your dive partner. All you see is this phosphorescence outline of this phytoplankton around them. So you see an outline of your buddy.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're diving along and he's driving. So, like, so he's got this tack board. It's a navigational board that, you know, he's navigating and he's getting graded on his speed and accuracy of the dive. And you're his partner. So you're just kind of like cruising along, like basically drafting off him, making sure that everything's safe. And then all of a sudden, like, in front of us, I see this huge ass outline of something. I mean, it's like freaking huge. I don't know if it was, to this day, I still don't know if it was a manatee or a bull shark, but it was like literally feet in front of us. And I'm just sitting there, I'm slapping him. I'm like, we got to hurry up and get the hell out of here.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. But, wow, that's craziness. But I mean, like, I guess, like, to say, if I may interject on that too, I feel like, you know, it's like, when I first dove, like, in Mexico, just like, you know, the quick certification, whatever, like, it's so peaceful down there. And I'm sure even after you dove, after, when you could see, it's just this another world down there. It's peaceful. It's quiet.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's just you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I like always, you know, the reef, you know, diving for fun, because I did it recreationally too. That's what I was enjoyed about it, was it's another world, you know, it's a whole nother untapped world that most people don't get to see, you know, and it's really cool. And it's scary. That's scary that you say you got your little certification in Mexico, because I've seen how that goes.
I know. Well,
I did a 3 month course and you did that like 3 hours in a 3 foot
when
pool.
I said that. You see, when I cringe, I was like, I'm not proud of it, but it did get me down there, and it's like, and I got to experience it twice doing that.
That's awesome.
And like I said, I thank God, like I made sure of all the rules and everything. I really listened, cause I was not going to otherwise, cause I'm afraid of the water when it comes to stuff like that as well. But I just felt I was at peace though. You know, I really enjoyed it. So, the 3 hour course is not that good, people, but at least it got me down there. So,
yeah. And you know me, I lobster every year.
Yeah, this
so
is true.
I'm like in the Keys, like diving, but that's the reason why I do it. Cause it was just one of my big fears that I wanted to conquer. And so now we're out there every year doing it. But, I just feel like I can't get away, cause we see sharks, jellyfish, and I feel like I'm stuck. Like, I'm swimming, but I'm not going anywhere, or at least not fast enough. And I hate it when the fish touch me.
Oh.
I just freak out.
But you get fulfilled when you grab your, after you dive, you grab your stuff, right? I can grab
the lobster because they're like, I mean, that's my food, you know, but when the fish come in like schools and I'm like, ah, they're touching me. Get them away. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
All right, Aaron. Well, let's tell me about you and Rex. Like I know, like I said, do you consider like we're calling this man's best friend, because I do believe that animals can and truly are your best friend, especially with dogs and be a cat. Well, I don't care what it is, but people, we get attached, you know? And so, is he the only one you have? Do you have any more animals as well?
I've got three dogs.
Okay.
So I've got him. I've got Hank, which is we call him F and Hank. So that kind of describes, you know, you can kind of figure that out. He's kind of our window licker. He's a big German Shepherd. He was a rescue as well.
Okay.
He's about 3 years old. Then I just got a puppy from another rescue out of Dallas, the powerful rescue out of Dallas. And he is a half German Shepherd, half Malinois. And his name's Spicy Rooster. He's 9 months old and he is a Spitfire.
Oh, wow.
And I'm training him to do like the same stuff as Rex.
Okay. So. Okay, and how do you get Rex out there? How did you get him into the world? Like, I know that you're in this world, but how do you push him, or would someone discover him like they do like anything else?
No, you know, I rescued him and then I just started taking him everywhere because I knew like, hey, if I'm going to create that bond and I need to with this breed of dog, I need to take him everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was traveling a lot doing, you know, Call of Duty shoots and some other content, and I took him on set for a Call of Duty shoot and we just kind of included him on one of our group shots.
Nice.
And we're like, and then, you know, then they were like, oh, well, you know, this next shoot, we need a dog. It just made sense. He's always, you know, he's always there on set. He's the perfect dog and he's well, well versed in, you know, the skills and stuff that they needed. So it's just a perfect fit. And he just kind of right place at right time, you know?
Right. And you've been in the world for how long yourself then? Cause I know that you do stuff in that realm as far as Call of Duty as well. So do they call back the same crew all the time every year as well?
You know, they mix it up.
Okay.
You know, I've been doing, the body of Ghost since 2019.
It's a big deal.
So, yeah. You know, I don't do the voice. I'm not British.
Right.
And I'm working on that accent, which I'm not even going to attempt today. But and then I didn't do the mocap, but I've done commercials for them. I've done a lot of stills, and then, you know, like right now, like the cover of the game is my face. And,
yeah, I saw that.
You know, it's on Times Square.
That's
amazing.
Dubai and everywhere. So it's pretty rad.
And no one knows you. This is like just the mask and be like, yeah. Who's that guy? It's like, it's me. Yeah, right. Yeah. It is. It's like, no, it is.
Oh, I get it all the time. Yeah. Like I got little nephews and stuff that it's like, I told my kid, my friends at school and they're like calling me out. Can you send me some, you know, BTS on something? You know,
like
you
what's the proof?
You have to do a little hook next time or something. They do that like I don't know, like a little head tilt or something.
Right.
Something that gives you, that gives it away.
Like maybe you lose half your mask.
Oh yeah. That'd
so then, you know what I mean? They see that.
Get the mustache in there. That'd do it for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, so let me ask you. So I hear that you have like the Malinois and the German Shepherd. So let people know out there, because I know that I hear you're rescuing them. I know that there's people that are using them for maybe possible training. I even heard this, you know, I'm in LA and I heard that there's a place out near San Diego that has German Shepherds that they might be using them for military stuff, but then they just don't pan out or they wash out. I don't know what it is, but how are you finding the Germans and the Malinois?
So the German Shepherds, Malinois and Dutchies, they end up at a lot of these shelters. I mean, they're, I would say probably like the second or third most, I don't know, like populated dog at shelters now. And a lot, it's due in large part to people seeing these dogs in shows like, or movies like John Wick.
Oh yeah.
Which awesome, you know, Keanu Reeves, that show is awesome.
Amazing.
And the dog's awesome. However, you know, people, we're not the smartest creatures, you know? So we think like, oh, I saw it in a movie. It's real. Like I can go buy this dog and it's going to come out of the box like that. And it's more of, you know, they get it as like a status symbol. And then they quickly realize that this dog is a freaking, you know, a machine that's built for working. And I have no idea what I've got on my hands. And this dog is, I mean, these dogs are smarter than most people. They're more capable, like physically, you know, than a lot of, you know, creatures and stuff. And so they get these dogs thinking it's, you know, like it's going to be awesome. And then they quickly realize like I'm in way over my head. It's destroying my life. It's destroying my house. Or they think that, you know, it's the dog's messed up.
Is it because of the activity that they need that they're not giving them most of the time?
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And I always say that, you know, these dogs have two gas tanks. or two fuel tanks. One is the mental stimulation and the physical stimulation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't drain both of those each day, then your life's going to be hell, okay. You know, because you're either going to have like, you know, a dog that's extremely, physical and mentally frustrated, mm-hmm. or, you know, vice versa, but you need to like drain both those.
So what do you suggest to people then, if they, you know, especially it's German or the Malinois, like what do you suggest to people then? Like, how do you, like, for instance, when you got Rex and your new one, Spitfire and all that stuff, that, what do you do for them every day?
Oh man, I take them everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like take them, you know, like, you know, you can't take these dogs out on just like a 6 mile mindless run, because they just get on, it's like getting on a treadmill and they just shut their mind off. So they're not getting any mental stimulation. They just, it gets them in shape, but they're not getting that mental workout. And then they come back and they're just a more capable, frustrated animal. So I just, you know, for me, I don't take them out on runs that often. I just take them
everywhere,
anywhere. If it's possible for me to take him anywhere, I take him.
That's great.
Obviously.
I mean, he's getting stimulation today.
What
I mean,
about
he's such
the plane when you're on the plane?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So for planes, they have to be a registered service animal, or they have to be signed off as a service animal to get them to fly on the plane, like a full-size dog like this. I think, I don't know what the regulations are for like the little pocket dogs and stuff like that. I don't know how that works. I've never had one. You see people carry them on all the time, and I don't know what they're, in what capacity, you know.
Right.
But... yeah, these guys and German Shepherds, and you know, you'll see some Labs on there too as service dogs.
Does he need a seat?
No, he'll just, he's got the routine down now.
That's
great. He's probably logged like 60 flights now. So he knows the routine. I always joke like he's like a kid, you know, where you take your little, you know, your 12-year-old, you put the little badge on him, hand him off to a flight attendant.
Right.
You could totally do that with him. You could put the badge on him. He'd go to aisle 19 and climb in and go under the seat and just, you know, he knows the routine. So when we go on flights, we'll go to the row. I'll point it out. He'll climb in against the bulkhead and crawl under the seat in front of us, and he'll rack out until we land. So
that's great.
Aww,
Were you looking for like, and I'm going to go with your newest one now, your 9-month-old, just to kind of give a reference with the other ones. Were you seeking a new dog at that point, or did you just someone say, hey, there's a dog that needs to be rescued? Or how did you choose all three?
Well,
I know the story of this one.
Three,
like you said.
Three dogs is a handful, but especially three of these guys. But no, we had recently lost a 16-year-old pit bull, Meatball was his name. And,
I saw the pictures.
Yeah. So like a few months passed, and I was just, you know, that rescue in Texas, they came up with, I think it was 9 male Malinois puppies.
Wow.
And they asked us, you know, because we've got a little, platform on social media in the dog world, and they're like, hey, would you mind putting these out? You know, advertising them for us to help us get these adopted. And so, you know, I'm looking at these dogs, and you know, like these guys, like miniature ones, you like, how do you pass that up? So I'm like,
their faces.
You know, I'm pushing their stuff, you know, pushing it. And I'm like, hey, like what do we got to, you know, would it be possible for me to possibly, you know, like maybe get one? And they're like, dude, we'll give you a pick of litter. So I went down to Dallas and took a road trip down there, and I picked out, you know, Spicy Rooster, and he was by far the smallest. So he's the runt of the bunch, and he's still, to this day, his brothers are all like high 70s, 80s, you know, pounds. And mm-hmm. he is, I think he was 59 pounds the other day. So he's more than 20 pounds lighter than the other ones, but he's just a little ball of fire. And that's what I liked him. I was like, this dog, when they sprayed, you know, the hose out there in the backyard, the other dogs were running from it, and this little fucker's like coming out of nowhere, like trying to attack them. I was like, I like his attitude.
That's the one,
So I took him home, and he's on track to be every bit of the dog as Rex, you know.
That's
so, and
great.
That's kind of what I envisioned with him. I was like, if I'm gonna get a puppy, I'm gonna get something that I can incorporate into the world in the space that I'm working in, and so he's kind of filling in where Rex is. And so when Rex gets older and he can't do it anymore, Spicy Rooster can hop in and fill his.
Do they just eat it up too? They just, I mean, like Spicy, does he just love it? Everything, like you get, it seems like it.
He's coming along. Mm-hmm. They're a lot of work.
I'm sure they are,
especially in the front on the front end.
Right, man. Three of them too.
Well, I met Aaron at a 9-line event, and we were in Georgia, and he had the dog, and the dog came everywhere, like the restaurant, just so well behaved.
I know,
and
your Instagram's amazing with
and
him,
he,
by the way,
he
too.
Makes it, like, you really make it look so easy. So to where people are like, yeah, I'm going to go get a dog because it can be like that. But I just don't think that they understand the work on the back end, like you were saying.
So that's something that I always like kind of struggle with, and I try to voice that as much as possible on platforms like this, is, you know, like, we do a ton of cool stuff. If you check out his page, I mean, you've seen it. He's balancing on fire hydrants. He's balancing on poles. He's climbing trees. He's jumping over walls and bushes and doing all this, you know, sitting up, climbing ladders and whatnot. But, you know, they don't just come wired like that. You know, like, that is spinning. It's a lifestyle. You know, that dog has to be with you all the time, doing that stuff daily. And so that's where I'm like, dude, like, by putting this content out there, am I making people think, oh, this is, you know, hey, I need to go get one of these, you know?
Right.
But that's why I always try to really voice that, you know, these dogs they're horrible pets. They're not for the regular person to have just as a pet. You know, they have to be working in some capacity and full time.
Right.
It's an investment.
Yeah, it is.
And you do it all yourself, because I've seen some people that have invested, but they send the dog off to a trainer.
Yeah. But you said you weren't his handler though. So what does that mean? What's the difference though?
No, I'm not a canine handler.
Like, we can't drop off our dog to him and be like, here, train him up for me.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a dog trainer. Right. And he's not like an agency working dog or something like that.
Okay. He's all yours.
Yeah, but as far as like the board and train stuff, I know some people that do the board and train, and it's, I think it's, it can be good for people to have no background at all. Like, you know, take your dog to a reputable place and, man, do your homework, because I know some people firsthand that are dealing with some chaos right now due to, a board and train place that not all of them are up to a par. There's a lot of them that are not. So do your homework on that. But some of those can be really good. And then anytime that you can do the stuff yourself, you're creating that awesome bond with that animal. It's going to make it exponentially like so much better, because they're learning straight from you and you're learning them, you know, which is very important. So,
yeah, love that.
So I would love to tap into your background a little and stuff like that. Cause we had the opportunity to talk and you'd sent me over, a little stuff. Unfortunately, we don't have time today, but I wanted to know if we could invite you back and if you would be able to sit with us and kind of dive into that, if you'd be willing to do that with us.
Really.
And then where can we find you at SHOT Show this week?
Oh, man.
Are you
going to
be with Nine Line, Black Rifle Coffee? I know some of your bigger sponsors.
So I think we have a meet and greet at Nine Line for a couple hours. I want to say it's maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we'll be
at Black. I'll post it on my social for everyone.
Yeah, I'll get you the info. We'll be Nine Line, Black Rifle Coffee, Springfield Armory. We'll be swinging through Zev and, you know, a handful of others. But we'll be out on the floor next couple days and out and about.
Right. I love it.
Me too.
Let's give him a question of the day.
Oh, okay. We'll make this real quick. Okay. Man. So you're going to,
I lost sleep over this last night.
Let's make him feel uncomfortable.
All right. Hey, Christopher and Jamie, new listener, but I have to say I have binged the last 10 episodes since I met Christopher in Vegas at the AVN convention.
Oh, geez.
The show has inspired me to actually take time away from dating and try to heal and to love myself first. I'm a 30-year-old male who is actually there for the CES convention, but snuck into the AVN with a friend of mine who loves his porn. Wow, what a crazy event. I can't seem to make time for myself outside of work for the right girl. And by the right girl, I have a tendency to lean more towards a Netflix and chill vibe, if you know what I mean. In my heart, I want to be a committed relationship, but know that I sabotage every girl I go out with by telling them what they want to hear just to get them in bed. One and done. I'm tired of the lies and the games that I play and want to find someone who I can just settle down with. I spoke to Christopher and he inspired me with this story. So here's my question. I know it's going to be like taking drugs away from an addict, but how do I stop and take time to be by myself in order to be a better dude for the girls that I really want to attract?
Do you know this guy? Do you
I
remember him?
I might have
him?
An inkling of him, yes.
And okay.
I've told my story a few times, but how's he gonna change?
Let's go, Aaron.
Man. Dude.
You've changed many a dogs, Aaron. So
how are we gonna change this?
Yeah, this should be an easy
man.
One for you. Come
man.
On.
I'm probably the last person to give dating. I haven't dated forever. So that's I don't know, man. I think you touch on it like you gotta find love for yourself first. Yeah. Like find something that makes you happy and, you know, things to do, you know, and then I think that it just happens, you know. I'm just I'm spitballing here.
Just fine.
But you know, like you know, just find the stuff that you're interested in. Go out, do it. Don't focus so much on trying to find somebody and trying to please
someone,
trying to score and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's probably his problem. Is you go out working hard at it, you're gonna get that one and done. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But does he want it? He wants to get away from the one and done.
Yeah, he seems like he just sounds like a real piece of down. Shit. Well, I mean, but he's.
He's watching porn.
Now I knew who the guy was.
He's sneaking into the AVN show. For those that don't know, AVN is a porn convention.
Right.
So he comes to town for
CES.
For CES.
What's CES?
It's a tech.
The consumer show. The electronic show, yeah.
And then ends up sneaking in the porn.
Yeah, there are
convention.
A bunch of those sneaking into that. So,
ladies, watch out for men like this.
But you know, but we're missing something that I read that he's actually admitting to himself that he's sick of it though. So it's like he wants to be rewired. He wants to be reprogrammed, right? So I think like Aaron said, you got to take some time out for yourself first of all, because you're not going to help anyone if you don't help yourself first, like we always say.
Yeah.
Second of all, take a break. You know, like you know, just like if you're going to meet a girl, see what it's like to actually have a conversation with her for the first time,
because instead of trying to hustle her,
and yeah, right, thank you. Well, I'm a hustler, baby.
Get her in bed,
Rex. What say you, Rex? Come on,
Rex,
speak.
What do you
speak,
think?
Rex? Rex, fuck you, dude. Like, he goes, you know what? Yeah, what do you say, Jamie, to this one?
Like I said, I mean, I don't even want to give this guy any advice.
Okay,
I say,
even if he's trying to change, come on, he's trying to make a change.
I mean, if he's trying to change, clearly change starts from within. And I say stop watching the porn. I'm not like a huge advocate, as you guys know, for any type of pornography. I think it just takes from the intimate, like one-on-one with your partner. So, he needs to get comfortable, like in uncomfortable spaces.
Right.
So I would start.
I feel like you just had a felon and you want to keep him a felon. You don't want to help the felon get
really?
Better. That's what it just sounded like to me. You go, fuck
I mean,
him.
It was,
it's like he's
it was
asking
a lot
for help.
Of, that's a lot of trauma.
It is.
For
but
me,
you know, I mean,
reading.
But then again, you know, I think if I know who this guy is, and I probably now remember, like he was in his 20s, which is totally acceptable.
Okay.
You know, he's living his life now. I think he's just sick of it now.
Yeah.
I think I remember the guy now, and I know he was in his 20s for sure.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, everybody in their 20s, what do? We want to just, like, you know, one and done.
First
no
of all, I just want to say thank you for binge watching our shows.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being an avid listener.
I'm just great if you listen to my story.
But it sounds like he's got a little work to do on himself. So.
Yeah, if you're gonna push in your 30s, I think you're just take some time out, like Aaron said. Just I mean, and by the way, as a trainer, you know a lot more in relationships than you think you do. So don't catch yourself short, because it takes a lot to train, you know, and this is a similar situation right here. It takes time and discipline, you know. You gotta discipline yourself, dude. So if you're gonna do this and you really wanna do it, you gotta discipline yourself to be better.
Just like Aaron disciplines his dog.
Exactly. And taking spicy.
Spicy rooster.
Spicy rooster. Gotta love me some spicy rooster.
Maybe I'll bring him up next time.
I want you to.
That
name's great.
Please.
Yeah. All right, guys. Aaron, please plug what you have, your social and everything.
Yeah. Just check us out on Instagram. It's jammer_actual and Call of Duty Rex. And he's on TikTok too.
Nice.
But check us out. Check out Nine Line Apparel. They're the ones that we sell our t-shirts, our t-shirt designs through them. And a lot of the money that we raise for that goes to dog shelters and helping veteran dogs and stuff like that with you know, unforeseen expenses and stuff. So
I love that. Nine Line, they're a great foundation. They build homes as well for disabled vets.
Yep.
So, oh, that's wonderful.
I had the opportunity to work with them. And of course, that's how I met Aaron. So
that's great.
I will be at SHOT Show today, you guys. You can catch me at the Howitzer booth. I'll be with my partner, JJ Ricaza.
Nice.
And it's Jamie_Villamore.
All right, guys. And you can find us at Dating Intelligence on social media. My personal one's at Fetch Sport, FETCHSPORT. And please subscribe and follow. And you guys, it's going to be a great season. And Aaron, thank you so much for coming on and bringing Rex.
Hey, guys.
I wish we
thanks
had
for
time,
having
so
us
thank
on.
You.
Yeah. Thank you,
I think we got George in the back behind there. George, thank you
George,
for producing today, buddy.
You.
Absolutely.
No. We did George. A little switcheroo. I feel like we started
I think
Travis.
So, too.
We did.
Okay, that's
the fast one.
We love you guys just the same as Sticky Paws. All right, guys, that's another episode, and we will talk to you soon. We are out.
Oh.
Oof.